I'm joined by Firas Abi Ali, Head of Middle East Forecasting at Exclusive Analysis, which has just been purchased by IHS. Firas, today the Turkish authorities have charged a number of people over the last month's order incident in which 14 people were killed. You have suspicions that it may not have been the Syrian intelligence forces behind this, but Islamic forces in the opposition. Can you explain why?
Yes, when the incident occurred, the Syrian National Council, which is one of the major opposition bodies, was itself quite hesitant to accuse the Syrian government of having conducted the attack, and did not actually, or some members of it who were involved in the attack and affected by the attack, did not actually come out and say that it was the Syrian government. The area in which the attack took place has been under the control of the insurgents for quite some time, including some of the Islamist insurgents. Now, I understand that their ability to provide security is quite low, but the combination of the factors, the fact that the opposition itself did not, or some parts of it did not come out and directly accuse the government of having conducted this attack, and the fact that it took place in insurgent-controlled territory, both led me to suspect that it would have been the some of the Islamist forces that were opposed to the Syrian National Council's plan to negotiate with the Syrian government that conducted the attack.
We should explain that this attack narrowly missed an opposition convoy that included Syrian National Council leader George Sabra, his predecessor Abdul Basit Saida. After the incident, they did accuse the Syrian government of being behind this.
Some of them did, but some of them actually came out and said that it was too soon to make that accusation.
Why the suspicion that this was Jabhat al-Nusra? What evidence is there?
Frankly, right now there's no evidence for either hypothesis. This is my personal speculation. I don't have concrete evidence to back it up. However, the attitude of the Syrian opposition following the attack, the fact that they did not try to politically capitalize on it as much as they had done with other incidents, their own reluctance, or the reluctance of some of them to accuse the Syrian government, is what made me suspicious about this. Added to the fact that the attack did take place in an area that had been controlled by the Syrian opposition for months. The convoy was supposedly going to meet with some of the military leaders of the Syrian opposition. If you were the Syrian government and you knew where this convoy was going and you knew that it was going to meet military leaders, you would wait until the military leaders and the political leaders were in the same room, and then you would conduct your attack. And if you couldn't do it with a car bomb, you would do it from the air. This would have been the tactic followed by the Syrian government if it had indeed been them. The use of a car bomb, on the other hand, provides plausible deniability to whoever committed it.
The Turkish authorities say the five people they've arrested have links to the to Syrian intelligence. They would say that, wouldn't they? Would that be your attitude?
I mean, yes, they would. And again, I don't know for a fact who conducted this attack. I'm saying that I've got my suspicions.
What would be in it for Islamists?
Well, they would have taken out the political leadership that they see as completely unrepresentative of them. They would have cut off the possibility of a negotiated settlement that would leave them out. And it would reinforce their prominence as the people who need to be talked to in order to achieve any settlement. I think this is what they would have achieved with this kind of attack.
More broadly, are you concerned about the influence of Islamists in the insurgency?
I don't think that Jabhat al-Nusra are the only jihadis that are there. I think that you are seeing, if you look at most of the fighting units that are operating in Syria, all of them have given themselves some sort of Islamic name. All of them claim to be engaged in jihad against the government. Now, this is not unusual. Fighting against injustice in Islamic countries is often referred to as jihad. But you're seeing a lot of you're seeing a lot of groups that are rather openly sectarian, that are calling for an Islamist state. Some of them saying that, yes, they would allow a vote over this Islamist state. Some of them saying that, no, they won't. But generally, you're seeing the Islamist groups being the most important and the most predominant ones. And you're not seeing any groups that are actually secular. Even when you do see leaders from the secular parts of the Free Syrian Army giving public speeches, their speeches are couched in Islamic terms and are couched in Islamic language. Some might say that, yes, because the majority of Syrians are Muslims, this is fully their right. Fair enough. But if you're looking at this from the minority's point of view, and if you're looking at this from the Alawi's point of view and their willingness to reach a compromise or to stay away from Bashar al-Assad and try to negotiate with the opposition, this kind of attitude makes it quite unlikely that that negotiations between the different communities would take place.
Within the last few days, John Kerry and William Hague have talked about wanting to help moderate elements within the Syrian opposition. Mm-hmm. Do you think the West is in any position to get arms if it comes to that to some groups and not others?
I don't know who is it that they're thinking about backing, really, and so I'm not able to comment on that. What I would say, though, is that once the guns are actually in Syria, any foreign government that is supplying weapons would have absolutely zero control over who these guns actually end up going to. They don't have people on the ground who would be able to stop these weapons from going to sides that they did not intend to arm.
Last week at the Frontline Club, you warned that a group like Jabhat al-Nusra come to power tomorrow, they would be intent on at least some form of ethnic cleansing. Can you explain the basis for that?
I mean, if you look at the social media pages of the different groups that are in Syria, you would frequently see rather sectarian language being used against the Alawis and saying what it is that they're going to do to the Alawis once they defeat them, firstly. Secondly, in these kinds of situations, when a winning militia takes over neighborhoods that are controlled by their rivals, throughout the Middle East, we've seen this. We've seen the civilian population getting expelled in a best-case scenario, if not killed. After they're expelled, their homes are looted, and their ability to actually return to these areas, once peace is established, is gone because the homes have actually been destroyed. We saw this in Lebanon when the Christians and the Druze in Mount Lebanon burnt down, looted, and then burnt down one another's houses after whenever one of them took any of the other side's village. This is happening now in Syria, where the Syrian government forces are clearing the suburbs that are around the city of their residents and turning them into military zones, firing at anything that moves, basically. It is fair to say that it is the Syrian government that has started this, but it is also fair to expect that whoever defeats the Syrian government, especially if it is the Islamists, will carry on with this kind of policy. So yes, you can expect to see the expulsion of civilians who are from the wrong sect being done by either side in this conflict.
Is there anything that the international community can do to help?
I haven't heard anything being suggested that I think would help.
So what do you fear is going to happen over the next weeks, months, years?
What is probably going to end up happening is that Aleppo is going to fall to the insurgents within the next month to 3 months. Damascus will be held by the government for quite some time, probably through 2013. The key issue is Homs, really. Homs is what provides the connection between Damascus and the Alawi heartland along the Syrian coast. Hezbollah in Lebanon is getting more and more involved in the fight in Syria. Sunni groups in Lebanon are also getting more and more involved in the fight in Syria. They're increasingly likely to transfer this war into parts of northern Lebanon over the coming year. And it seems to me that this conflict is spreading. The kind of intervention that is being talked about so far seems to be of a very limited nature, without having the capability to actually cause major changes.
Is there any prospect of the Russians leaning on the Assad regime?
I don't know enough about Russian policy to comment on that, but I haven't seen any indication that they are willing to do so, and I don't see why they would do so. I mean, the situation that you have right now is basically you've got a war between Iran, Qatar, Turkey, and Saudi Arabia. The Sunni side sometimes is united, most of the time it's rather divided as well. These groups are competing for influence in the Levant, and they're doing so in Lebanon and Syria and Iraq. The communities that are in these countries are also willing to fight one another and are seeking foreign backing in order to do so. So you've got people within those countries who are willing to take arms and money from abroad to fight each other, and you've got foreign powers that are happy to intervene in these countries in order to support a war for influence.
Do you see any reason for optimism?
I mean, there would be indicators of that involving the Syrian National Council starting to talk seriously about maybe a federated Syria. Or if you were to see a major breakthrough over the electoral law in Lebanon, or if you were to see al-Maliki, rather than forcing through a budget with only the Shia vote, as he just did, trying to include the Sunnis in budget discussions and the Kurds in budget discussions and trying to negotiate with them. But I'm not seeing any of those indicators so far, and so I don't see any reason for optimism.
Okay, Fariz, gloomy stuff. Thank you very much.
No problem at all.